Let's begin tonight in our study, 18 February, and we're looking at the down end of stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience it, and why they do not need to. And let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to be sure that you're trusting the Spirit to open your eyes and ears at the truth of the things that we're studying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity we have to come together tonight, study these things, look at these things. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear. We pray these things, Heavenly Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we began point 33 on the 33rd reason in dealing with why you do not need to experience stress, anxiety, and depression in regard to what God has done to us and for us. Now, we started 33 with, in Christ, I live by faith. So, let's open up the Bibles and just bring us into where we left off last week. 2 Corinthians. Just right there on the table of content in the front. Just look it up there, Gigi, and they'll be getting to it. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll get going in it. Let me see here. Somebody's coming. Let me just show you right here so I can help you get it. Okay. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5. And let's just read where we left off, 2 Corinthians 5, and we were looking at verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But we picked it up at verse 6, therefore being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, while we're here on earth. Now, to understand the passage, what we want to do, like we did last week, look at verse 6, therefore, because we want to know how to be of courage. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, you want to know how to come out of that. And people, it's so important. I haven't dealt in this series with the physical, but your stress, anxiety, and depression so affect your heart, your immune system, and even things like cancer. And it is so important for your own immune system, for your own physical health, to walk by faith, to come out of the stress, anxiety, and depression, to have a relationship with God, so that those things don't affect your body. A lot of preachers today are dealing with a lot of that. I'm not going to go into that. But it is true that your stress and depression affects your immune system. And, in fact, this is one of the reasons that a lot of people get cancer. There are about 6 reasons that affect the immune system. And one of the reasons, one of the strongest reasons of cancer and affecting the immune system breaking down is stress and depression and people living in that state. Now, so here we start off with this beautiful phrase, being always, in verse 6, being always of good courage. 2 Corinthians 5. 6, therefore, being always of good courage, comma, for we walk by faith. Verse 7. So all I did was take out the parentheses in between and showed you why we walk by good courage. Why do we walk by good courage? For we walk by faith. Therefore, being of always of good courage, for we walk by faith. The way to be have courage in regard to every day is walk by faith in the Spirit. And we dealt with walking last week and understanding what that meant. Walking by sight is the way of the flesh. Walking by faith is the way of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Walking by sight leads to stress, anxiety, depression. Walking by faith ends stress, anxiety, and depression, and in their place put peace, courage, love, things like this. Walking by sight is walking by law, which is in the Bible. Walking by faith is walking by the truth of the gospel. whatever is common to walking by sight is uncommon to walking by faith. And most people, the reason they experience stress and depression is because they walk by sight. They allow their husband, their wife, their parents, their children, their lover, somebody hurt them, judge them, run them down, control them with all of this stuff because they walk by sight. The moment you break out of that, and the moment you say that this world is not going to set the standard of whether or not I have peace in my soul and whether or not I'm happy is not going to be dependent on the things in this world, I'm going to start walking by faith. I'm going to start walking by who I am in Christ. You're going to see stress, anxiety, and depression leave. So walking by sight is temporal. Walking by faith is eternal. Sight is walking by what is seen. Faith is walking by what is not seen. Now, this is very important for those of you that experience stress, anxiety, and depression. How y'all doing tonight? See if you can make your way through the crowds. All the way through the crowds here. And oh, I thought she was going to be a good Baptist. Take it up on the back row. How y'all doing tonight? Pam, you're all decked out like it's freezing out there. Sweaters and then sweaters. And we're in 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 6 and 7. And if you take a look and seeing these verses, verse 6, the first part of it in 2 Corinthians, give you a minute to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, comma, verse 7, for we walk by faith. How do we have good courage? Walk by faith. Now, as we were getting ready to see, this is so important and so dynamic to those who suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression. Walking by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith. Here's what I want you to see. Walking, when you walk by faith, it not only sees the unseen, but what is so remarkable, faith also sees the seen world. Now, what I want you to see is, I want you to think about this. If you're in stress, anxiety, and depression, it comes from living in this world. It comes from living in the seeing world. Conditions of your life. What you have, what you don't have. Your money, don't have it. Looks, prestige, family. So many things that happen that cause so many people to feel and sense so unworthy. I have a little aggravation with some of the Christians who make the family, if you have a family, it's just that, boy, this is God's great blessing, and if you don't have it, you're just sort of like a second citizen. That is a lie. It's an abominable lie, and it's wrong for Christians to put that out there. Because you're going by what's going on in the world. So what I want you to do, if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression tonight, and you're hurting, and okay, maybe you don't have money, maybe you don't have a marriage, maybe you don't have a family, maybe it's a family divorce, and you're there all alone, and you sense an unworthiness because of that, people, you're wrong. You're living by the seen world. Do you really believe you go to heaven? God's going to say, well, now let's see. Now, did you have a family? Huh? Do you have a wife or a husband and you have children? A little check mark? No, no. Oh, well, no. Well, then that's a mark against you. People, God doesn't do that. Please don't do that to God. And don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. What has happened to you in the past? What is happening to you now? And you somehow you think, I'm unworthy and I'm stressed out about it and it's never going to change. When you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, faith always has an object. When you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, in the plan of God, you have a spiritual seeing for two worlds. Now, what I'm going to show you is this. If you walk by sight, see, we're going to walk by sight or we're going to walk by faith. If you walk by sight, all you're going to do is, I guess I'll draw the line this way. Okay, all you're going to do is you're going to be able to see this seen world here. And it's all you're going to be able to. When you walk by faith over here, and you're in this unseen, you're going to be able to see in the unseen world here, but you're also going to be able to see in the seen world. If you walk by sight, you cannot see the unseen world. If you're walking by faith, you can see the unseen world. Let me show you a nice way to see this. I do this in our studies and our services on Sunday where we take an offering. And one of the things every now and then what I remind the people is that what we're doing in the offertory is we're crossing two great spheres of freedom. And what we're doing is we're crossing our political, economic freedom we enjoy in America, the freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. So I'll just put it this way so we can write. Here's your political, economic freedom that we enjoy in America. Now, this is the seen world. Now, in this freedom, we have the freedom. We have the freedom to do with our lives. We have the freedom to do with our money. That's the offering. We have the freedom to marry whom and live wherever we want to live, go to whatever church we want to go to. We have all these freedoms. So you have that in the political economic realm here. Now, what happens is in the offertory, I use in the offertory, but here's a good place to see it everywhere. We're going to cross that freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free in Jesus Christ. Here's our spiritual freedom. Now, what we do in the offertory, it is in the spiritual freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. Who to marry? Where to live? What to do with my money? What to do with my time? So what I'm showing you is that this is beautiful, people. If you walk by faith, you have eyes for two worlds. See, some people often will marry someone based on this world. Men will marry a woman because she is attractive, physically beautiful. Hadn't even looked in her soul. Haven't looked into the spiritual. Haven't looked into the unseen. Just the seen. And ladies do it too. Makes a certain amount of money. Looks good. Drives a nice car. So they make the decision, seen world. But boy, when you walk by faith, you have the ability, you have eyesight for both worlds. For the spiritual world, the unseen world, but real, unseen, but real, the spiritual world, and the physical world. And now, the decisions I have to make, where am I going to live? Where am I going to worship? Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to have as my friends? What am I going to do with my money? What am I going to do with my time? You now have eyes to see, to use, to live in both worlds when you walk by faith. People, you do not have that when you walk by sight. When you walk by sight, you never see the whole picture. And that's why a lot of Christians end up in stress, anxiety, and depression. You walk by sight, you never see the whole picture. Your vision is just limited to the physical world. So I look at the physical world, and as I look at it, this is the pits. God doesn't love me. My life's terrible. I'm unworthy to be loved. I'm unworthy of this. I'm unworthy of that. All I have to do is look and see how horrible it is. Yeah, you have just one vision. You have a vision of the physical world. You're walking by sight. What I want you to do is put on some glasses. And when you put these glasses on, like talking about faith, put on those glasses, start walking by faith, and boy, a whole world opens up to you. You go, wow, look at what's going on. Look at what's going on with how I use my money. how I use my time, whom I marry, how I treat my husband, how I treat my wife, how I treat my parents, how I treat my children. Whole world. And where do I worship and why? Do I worship because it's a church that'll get me this? It's a church that has the more music? Is it a church that does this? Where do I worship? You put on the glasses of faith that walk in both worlds and you be, no. Now I know why I make those decisions. Now I know why I make that decision. And this, it's not just because of the physical world. But I have glasses. Now I put on, when you walk by faith, you have glasses that you can see the whole picture, the world, the spiritual world, and the physical world. But again, I want to emphasize, because this is why a lot of Christians hurt with stress, anxiety, and depression. You walk by sight. My accomplishments, my performance, my lack of it, who likes me, who doesn't like me, what I have, what I don't have, how I look, how I don't look, what I drive, what I don't drive. And I'm going to tell you something, it'll wear you out. And that's what's happened to a lot of Christians in America. Stressed out. Depressed. Their marriage isn't what it ought to be. And the preacher stands up and talks about the family and all, and I don't have one. You walk out heavy burden. And you look at people and you look what they have and what they don't have. And you look at your dreams and how they didn't work out the way you thought they would. You didn't end up with the house with the white fence and the rose bushes and two children playing in the front yard and a dog. And now all I got is a dog that bites me, and the fence is broken down, and the kids kick me. I remember in the old Bob Newhart show, there was one man in his that would come into his group. His son fired him from his own company. And but people, please, if you suffer that way, start walking by faith, because it'll give you a whole picture. And you won't have that one dimension. It gives you a spiritual dimension. If you walk by faith, God the Holy Spirit, listen to me, God the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to walk in two worlds at one time. And that's awesome. That's dynamic. That's dynamic. To be able to walk in two worlds at the same time. And that's what walking by the power of faith in the Holy Spirit. Contrast to walking by sight. You walk by sight, you can only see one world one time. Walk by the flesh. See it according to the flesh, by the law, by Satan's lie, by the performance trap. To walk by faith is not walking in blindness. It's not throwing the dice when you walk by faith of what you do with your time, your money, your friends, your life. Walking by faith is walking with a spiritual sense of sight. Now I see. Now I see. And you don't become depressed. One of the, not long ago, Robert Duvall put out a movie called The Apostle. Now, I've commented on it a few times. Based upon true stories of different people that he knew, different pastors that he knew, not all one pastor, but different pastors, but they were all true stories. But what was interesting was, at the very end, the apostle, where was he? He was in prison in a chain gang. Now, in prison, on a chain gang, one can be bitter at God, bitter at life, bitter at women because it was his ex-wife that turned him in. Bitter at her. Bitter at a lot of things. But what was this pastor doing? And it's a true story. What was this pastor doing? He was getting the other members on the chain gang to sing spiritual gospel hymns. He had a mission. Wherever he was, he had a mission. And if it was in the lowly parts in prison, he had a mission there. God, it was no accident God put me here. God put me here, and I can witness. He didn't walk in and say, well, I've lost all my witness. I can't. How can I witness to these other prisoners? Because they can look at me and say, well, you're no better than me. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and woe is me, and I'm so sorry, and I'm so pitiful, and I'm so unworthy. I'm unworthy to give them the gospel. I'm unworthy. And he would not have witnessed to them. He walked in and said, listen, God put me here for purpose because there's somebody that'll hear. Yeah, there probably were other prisoners who would say, look, who are you? Shut up. But there'd also be some that would say, talk to me. tell me what you got. People, you got to put on the glasses of faith so that you're able in your vision to see what's going on and not just sit down with that one-sided vision and become distressed about your life. And how do you do that? You walk by faith. People, you don't need drugs, and you don't need alcohol, and you don't need psychiatrists and psychologists at $75 to $100 an hour, and all the rest of it. All you have to do is start walking by faith. And let God start showing you, opening up to you, the whole scene of two worlds. So walking by faith is walking in the spiritual sense of sight, a walk where the Holy Spirit guides you, a walk where the Holy Spirit lightens the way, turns on the light. Not walking in darkness, but in the light of the Holy Spirit, the truth of Scripture. A walk where the Holy Spirit will take you to the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will take you to the Bible. And you'll want to learn more about the Bible. You want to learn more of what it says. And the Spirit will use that in this guiding. A walk of faith is not blindness. He will lead you. He will lead you to the truth. One of the important sights that walking by faith reveals is this. Living in the flesh, living in this world, is an intermediate state of living. Now, people, if you're hurting tonight, whether you're listening to it on here, live, or in tapes, or on the internet, however you listen to it, please listen to me now. Our journey here is an intermediate state of living. And I hope you understand that and believe that. Walking by faith gives more than an awareness of this life, but it gives more of awareness of the life yet to come. And which is more important? This life, brief, I know we think it's long, it's brief, it's over. But when you walk by faith, it gives an awareness of a life after this one, eternal life. Living now is a prelude to living in the resurrected body for all eternity. And let me tell you something, it isn't based upon your failures here. What I love is the great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, the great grace chapter. And you go through people like Abraham, who's in there, and Abraham was great, and Abraham did this. See, somebody, a newspaper reporter or a Christian, and Christians are worse than newspaper reporters. Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Abraham really failed. Abraham had sex with Hagar, and Abraham did this, and Abraham did that. And see, God didn't do that. God didn't play that kind of game. You leave here, all of that's left behind. All your failures, all your sins, all that stuff left behind. He said, when did you walk by faith and trust me? When did you just trust me? Well, I walked and trusted, but it didn't seem to matter much. It didn't say, oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. It gave you the ability to walk in two worlds at one time. So instead of becoming depressed, please listen now, instead of becoming depressed about this world, instead of becoming stressed out and anxiety and depression, the believer turns to a life of walking by faith, walking in the reality of eternity future. I'm walking in the reality of eternity future. That's where we're walking. When you walk by faith, listen now, when you walk by faith, things are seldom as they seem. I want to repeat that, and I want to talk about it. When you walk by faith, things are seldom as they appear. You can look at some people, they're preachers, deacons, moral, wonderful people, all the rest of it. They're not walking by the filling of the Spirit. It means nothing. You look at a life of someone like David. He was a murderer. He's a womanizer. And all kinds of things about David. And what did God say? Here's a man after my own heart. Because he kept coming back to God. He kept coming back. He kept coming back. He never ran from God. He kept coming back to God. So things are very rarely as they seem. Never as they seem. One whose life appears to be wonderful before God isn't wonderful because it's not lived in the power of the Spirit. One whose life appears to be horrible may be wonderful before God. All one has to do is look into Scripture. Job 1:1, what do you think of Job? Boy, Job's the greatest guy in the world. Job isn't even close. Job isn't even close, like he's going to be at chapter 42. But everybody thinks he's great. That's the way most people, commentaries, will take the book of Job. No, he isn't even close. So we can go all the way through Scripture. So, believer, please learn to walk by faith. Walk by who you are in Christ. Walk by faith in the Spirit, not by sight of the world. Walking by sight is going to lead to stress and depression. Walking by faith is going to lead to inner peace and to joy and love, regardless of how your life appears to the world. Regardless of how your life appears to the world, if you're walking by faith, you're right where God wants you. And you walk in by that realm where you can see the next world. There are verses in the Bible for the eye that will see that if you are to live who you are in Christ, you live by faith. Let me give you some principles. This is who you are in Christ. One who lives by faith, not by sight, not by law, not by performance, but by faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit. Not faith that if I do my part, God will do His part. That's not the faith God is looking for. The faith God is looking for is a faith in Him. A faith in Him. That's the faith God is looking for. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not a faith in your performance. His performance. Faith in God. He tells you how to be saved, how to live. Faith in the Son for eternal salvation, restoration with God. Faith in the Holy Spirit for spiritual life. Now, let's look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Now Habakkuk is an interesting, phenomenal book in so many respects. And I'll tell you why. Because Habakkuk gives us the wars that we are studying on Tuesday night with the flood and the creation and restoration and all. Habakkuk is a powerful book in many, many respects. But look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. I think you've got to go back a page. Let's see. All right. Habakkuk 3. Let's see here. Habakkuk 2. Okay. Habakkuk chapter 2. And let's look at that. Habakkuk is just a powerfully phenomenal book. Somewhere along the line I ought to do Habakkuk. I need another night, but look how few we get tonight, but I'd love to have three or four nights with you. But anyway, Habakkuk chapter 2, and now what I want you to do is look at verse 4. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Now, what I want to show you about this book that is so phenomenal about the book and that is so pivotal, and you can see so many things going on in this book. Let me turn to it because I had not planned on dealing with this, but let me just show you something that is good about the book. Look at chapter 1 with me a minute. Go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 2. You can hear the cry, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help?" You ever felt like that, believer? If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression? And then verse 3, the first word, "Why?" See, that's when you know you're hurting. That's when you know your journey's hurting spiritually. How long and why? Two pivotal questions. Now, God's going to answer Job's questions. Now, what I want you to do with me is look at Job 2. Let's go to Job 2, verse 4. Behold, as the word behold means to pay attention, concentrate, as for the proud one. Now, the proud one is spiritual arrogance, those who claim to be right before God by their performance. I'm just telling you that's what's going on here. Those who claim to be right before God by their performance. Isn't that what it says? Here, Habakkuk 2:4. But as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. His life looks good. His life looks good. His life looks right. But not before God. Now, who would that be like? That'd be like the Pharisees at the time of Christ. The Pharisees, the religious crowd, they looked good, pure, prayed publicly, gave publicly, all these slaves wouldn't think of sinning in some horrible body sin. It's like the false teachers who look good. The thing about a false teacher, they strive to look good. Those who live under the law, under Satan's lie. So, his soul is not right within him. Then look what it says. But the righteous will live by what? By what? By his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. Okay, the righteous. Two concepts here. Two concepts. One, this is what you are in Christ. You are righteous in Christ. Now, we studied this already in these lists. I forgot which one it was. But you are righteous. You cannot change that. You cannot improve it or lose it. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God imputed you with perfect righteousness. You have this righteousness. You are a righteous. I don't feel it. Boy, I don't feel it tonight. I've lost my wife. I've lost my husband. I've lost my children. I've lost this. I don't have money. I don't feel very righteous. I'm a sinner. I've really failed. I know how wretched I am. I know what a miserable person I am. Well, I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, you are righteous before God. Period. You can't lose that. When you accepted Christ and you were put into Christ, you have the righteousness of Christ. You can't improve it. You can't lose it. Now, secondly, there is a righteousness that is associated with our life. There's a righteousness that is associated with our life on earth lived in this mortal body. As we've already seen, you can live in the power of the flesh, or you can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse is not saying that those who are saved, therefore righteous, will always live by faith. It doesn't say that. But it says that those who are righteous in Christ, when you are walking in the power of the Spirit, how are you? Because that's when you're righteous. Let's see if I can make myself clear. Okay, there are two states. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you are imputed with righteousness. It is ascribed to you. You can't lose it. It is yours. You can't improve it. You can't lose it. Now, here's your life, though, lived in this mortal body. 2 Corinthians 5. Here's your life as you live it now in your body. Now, you can, at any one moment, you are living in one of two dimensions. You are living in the flesh, and therefore walking by sight. Or, you are in the Spirit, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. One or the other. Any given moment. Any given second, you and I are in one or the other. We're either in the power of the Spirit, walking by faith in the Spirit, or we're in the flesh, walking by sight. It's not a little of each. They're absolutes. You're either in the Spirit, or you're in the flesh. Now, if you are in the flesh, obviously there will be no righteousness. There will be, a lot of times, self-righteousness. But that's not the righteousness God cares about. But when you walk in the power of the Spirit, people, He gives you, informs that righteousness in you, and that's what this passage is saying here. It is not saying that every person who is a Christian will always walk by faith. And what it is saying, and please get that in your mind, this verse is not saying that those who are saved, therefore righteous, will always live and walk by faith. It says, though, that those who are walking by that faith, in the Holy Spirit, those are the ones who are righteous. The righteous will live by faith. That's why they're righteous, because they live by faith. Just like the Corinthians passage, we have courage, for we walk by faith. Righteous, for we walk by faith. You walk by faith, people, you're going to have the righteousness. I'm here to tell you, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what happened to you when you were a child, when you were a little girl, when you were a little boy, what's happened to you later in life, your parents abused you, neglected you, whatever's happened, what happened in your marriage, what's happening to you right now, you walk by faith. You walk by faith, and that's being the righteous here. That's what's happening. You walk by faith, something the unrighteous cannot do. So if that since you are in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. Walk by faith. Live according, people, please live according to who and what you are in Christ. Learn all these 33 things that we studied. Learn who and what you are in Christ and walk by them. This concept is at the heart of understanding stress, anxiety, and depression, and why so many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. It's learning to walk by faith or walking by sight. If you walk by sight, you're either going to end up in stress, anxiety, and depression, or you're going to end up very arrogant and thinking you're doing everything right, or you don't care about anything. But when you live by, as a Christian, and you're trying to hold on to things with God, and you're living by sight, you're going to end up in stress, anxiety, and depression. Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," as a believer. So it's so important to you. You will have troubles inside, outside. But when you walk by faith, all your troubles are outside. All your troubles are outside, not inside. Turn with me to another passage, Romans chapter 1. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Now, if we're looking at Romans chapter 1, remember Romans is a book that is divided, and the first four chapters deal primarily with the unbeliever, or deal with the unbeliever, and then the from chapter 5 on deals with the believer, deals with the born-again believer. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 17. Romans 1, 17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." People, you're not righteous because you're good. Please understand that. Few Christians understand that principle. You are not righteous because you're good. You're righteous because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at our verse. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." From faith to faith. What does that phrase mean? Let's take a look. The phrase, see if we can take a look at it. From faith to faith. Okay, what are we talking about? Okay, this is saying from faith. Now what is that? That is salvation faith. That is salvation faith. That is, how are we saved? We are saved by one act of a grain of mustard seed of faith in the person of Jesus Christ. So, from faith is from the point of salvation to faith. Now, what is that? That faith is our life. That we live moment by moment by moment by faith. From faith, salvation, believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. To faith, living your Christian life by faith in the Holy Spirit. And what we want to do is, what happens with us is this. You start out and you're, it's like this. And so you start out like this. Now this may be a day, maybe even longer than a day. And then you walk a little, put a little faith. And then as you start growing in the scriptures and you walk more and more by faith, what we want to do is get these dots closer together. Get them closer together. And pretty soon you want them where they almost look like they're a line. But they are, they're not a line. They're dots. They're dots. And that's what you want to walk. Walking by faith is where you just walk moment by faith in your life. And that's what we want to do. So that's what the faith, from faith to faith means. For in it. Now, what is it? Look at your passage. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, what is it? For in it. Verse 16. the gospel. For in the gospel, and people, while we are eternally saved by the gospel, we continue to live by the truth of the gospel. You're never away from the gospel. You're saved by the gospel. We live by the gospel. Faith. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Where? In the members of the human race. From faith, that is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, for righteousness comes by faith only, to faith, that is the righteousness of our Christian life. For this righteousness we live moment by moment in the power of the Spirit by faith. As it is written, but the righteous man, that's the man who's saved by faith, shall continue to live by faith. See how this verse goes? It's a simple verse when you see it. As it is written, the righteous man, that's a man who's saved by faith in Christ, shall live, continue to live, by faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. When we walk by the flesh, stress, anxiety, depression, because we're living by the law, we're living by performance, we're living by our basic instincts, all of which is going to leave us stressed and then depressed. But we are to walk. What I want you to see is in Christ, being righteous in Christ, people, what do you know about yourself? I have to walk by faith. I'd like you to look at another passage with me tonight. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Alright. Look at Galatians chapter 3. And this is powerful. This is good stuff. 3:11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. Now, what is he saying? No one is saved by the law. No one is justified before God by your life. You mean somebody lives this wonderful life and they don't commit too many big sins and big body sins or steal and all these things? They're not justified before God? No, let me tell you something. I don't know if Sister Teresa is a Christian or not. I don't know if she's ever personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. I've never read a account that she has. But let me make my point. She is not righteous before God because of all those wonderful things she did in giving her whole life. She is not righteous because of that. That's not how we're justified before God. And somebody who lives a horrible life is not devoid of being righteous before God because of that. You've got to get in your mind, if you're hurting from stress, anxiety, and depression, you're dealing a lot with your performance and it isn't leveling out and you're coming down on yourself. Well, look what this passage says, that no one is justified by the law, by doing the works of the law, by performance, before God. Now, I love to see that little phrase, before God. See, before man, you may look real good. The deacon, the pastor, the deacons, some person, the Pharisees, the religious crowd, somebody like Sister Teresa, somebody, we look good before man. Oh, but people, that isn't where it counts. Counts as before God. You take Sister Teresa and King David, and let me tell you something, you're talking two entirely different people. Sister Teresa, her whole life just devoted to man and service and all that, and a wonderful person. And David, womanizer, murderer, and all these things, a horrible person. People, it's not before man. Please get that phrase. Look at it again and think about it. Verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God. See, before man we're satisfied. Before man we're satisfied if you just live a good life. We're satisfied if you're my next door neighbor and you never rob from me. Never steal. We're satisfied. Not God. All right, now look what it says. That no one is justified by the law before God is evident. So what I'm saying to you is, if you hurt tonight because of your past, that doesn't have anything to do with anything right now. Look what it says. For the righteous shall live by faith. How does a righteous live? How do you become righteous? Faith in Christ. How does a righteous person live? By faith. Will a person saved by faith in Jesus Christ, whose state is righteous, will that person, can that person live an unrighteous life? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he's not living who he is in Christ. Now that no one is justified by the law. Okay. Again, we studied this in our second point. We're not justified by the law. That is, we are not justified by something we do, some performance, something of the mind, something of the body, something of the tongue, but by simple faith. Now that no one is justified by the law before God, very important, before God. Many people look good before man. Many people live their life to look good before men. That is, they look good and morally and all these things before men. But before God, it's an entirely different question. He knows our thoughts and intents of the mind. He knows. He knows. And I'm going to tell you something, those of you that are hurting tonight, you probably have been judged by some of these self-righteous people who look very good in the world, think that they're very wonderful people. Maybe even somebody in the church. I know a couple of preachers who tell people they're losers. So you may have been judged by the world. But I want to tell you something. Before God, I can tell you right now, before God, they are no better than you by the very thing they're doing. They're no better. Don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by the Pharisees. Don't be fooled by the whitewashed tombstones of people. Before God is the greater issue, not before men. So we want to be worthy before God. How are we worthy before God? Worthy before God when we walk by faith. Before God, you can be very clean before men, very pure before men, very righteous before men, but before God, filthy. Why do I say filthy? Because in the Old Testament it says what? Our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. People think about that. You mean all my good works? You take someone like Sister Teresa, all those wonderful good things she did is just, it can be, could be, possibly be, just dirty rags before God? Yeah. And we're an adult crowd tonight, and I doubt any children will be listening to these tapes. What the word, the Hebrew actually says is, our righteousness are as discarded menstrual cloths. That's how repulsive this is before God. That's what our righteousness is like. Not our unrighteousness. See, we could kind of smile and say, our unrighteousness is that way before God. No, it's not our sins that are that way before God. It's our goodness in the flesh that is filthy before God. Rags before God. Multitude of people in the churches look good to man on the outside. But they're not justified before God. Now, that no one is justified by the law, performance before God, in contrast to before men, is evident. For the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, now think. There is no visible proof that one is eternally saved by faith in Christ. There is no visible proof. I hear Christians all the time, well, he couldn't do that and be a Christian. She couldn't do that and be a Christian. Yes, they can. They're human. This has nothing to do. They weren't saved by not sinning, and you don't lose it by sinning. But people get this idea, and they like to judge, well, that person can't be saved. I'm not sure that person's even saved if they did that. There is no visible proof that a person is a new creation in Christ. Now, here's the kicker, though. There is evidence whether one is walking by faith or not. That is, does show some evidence. That's why James was able to write, your faith is dead. Why? Because I don't see the manifestation of faith. What is the manifestation of faith? Love. I don't see love. And I don't even have to follow you all to your homes. He just watched them in the assembly. In your own assembly, you do not treat each other in spiritual love. Your faith is dead. You claim you're walking by faith. You claim you're doing wonderful. But I just stand and observe. You're not. You're not walking by the faith that God is looking for. So there are a multitude of believers and many unbelievers who look very righteous before men. But if you look very closely, how are they living? What's their system? Their system is they're living by law. We're going to see this in our study of Job. What system? What is the system that Job is functioning under before God? There are two systems that you can function under. I like to think about them in terms of mountains. There are two mountains that are two different systems. So let's look at it. So here's our systems that you can work with God. Now, one is Mount Sinai. The other is Mount Zion. Now, Mount Sinai is giving of the law. Mount Zion is the cross. Mount Sinai is performance-based. Mount Zion is grace through faith. So you get to choose, people. You get to choose which system you want to work with under God. God at Mount Sinai giving the law, God at Mount Zion giving the cross. You pick them. Which system do you want to work with? Do you want me to tell you something? Tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this tape, if you are stressed, anxiety, and depression, and sad, and all of this stuff going on in your soul, I'm sorry, I want to say it as tenderly as I can, but you're living on Mount Sinai. I can tell you what mountain you're living under, because this mountain is going to produce sad. You're living on Mount Sinai. Your view of God, you're dealing with God. And what I want you to do is I want you to move over here and live under Mount Zion. I want you to live under grace. I want you to live under love. Undeserved. Unconditional. Not taken away. Not withheld. Always there. Live under His love. Where there is no more stress, anxiety, and depression. There is peace, joy, love, so many wonderful things that are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can this be a reality in your life? Yeah. How? You got to believe it. You've got to know it, and you know it now because you're hearing it taught. You got to know it, then you got to believe it, and then you want to live it. And when you start living it, you start living who you are in Christ, which means you start living by faith, you're starting to start experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And the stress, anxiety, and depression start going away. A lot of the books that I'm reading talk about reversing cancer and doing these things. Can cancer be reversed? Yeah. Yeah. It can. Can stress, anxiety, and depression be reversed? Yeah. They can. It's a wonderful love miracle that God does. You start walking by faith, and God just says, okay, I'll start pouring in my blessing inside of you. He won't change the world around you. He'll change you. He'll change you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a look at who and what you are. We stand amazed, Heavenly Father, that you're a God who cares so much about us individually, and that you have made provision for every Christian who hurts. I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, that Christians have to cry and hurt because you have provided everything necessary where they don't have to. It's simple, but it's not easy, because walking by faith, Heavenly Father, is against our total basic instinct, as you know. But it's so, so easy to just trust you. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that you're the God that you are. And I pray in closing, Father, that this tapes will get into the hands of those few Christians who will listen, see it, believe it, and live it, and start coming out from underneath the burden of a depressed life. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.